From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. If you've ever passed by the old Divine Lorraine Hotel on North Broad Street in Philadelphia, you've probably wondered where it got its name. I know I have. Well, it turns out that the Divine Lorraine is named after a religious cult leader who claimed to be God.
One day my daughter called me up and said, "You've got to make a movie about this guy."
That's Philadelphia filmmaker Lenny Feinberg.
She said that she went to a banquet at their house, at their mansion, Woodmont, which is a 75-acre estate in Gladwin. And she said that people sat around the table singing the whole meal, but then they would get up and speak to an empty chair. And that empty chair was Father Divine.
Today, a handful of followers still live in Woodmont and still believe Father Divine is God, even though he's been dead for over 50 years. He was way ahead of his time on issues of race and social justice, but he is dismissed in history as a religious panderer who created a cult to serve himself. Today on The Why, Divine's Providence. Feinberg recently completed a documentary on Father Divine and his followers. Let's talk about a little bit about how Father Divine came to be. He was born George Baker in Rockville, Maryland.
Well, that's a statement that can get you in trouble with the existing followers. Many people claim he was born George Baker in Rockville, Maryland, but his followers vehemently deny that because they believe he's God. And God can't be born. I looked hard and long for proof, and I could find no proof that he was George Baker.
So how did he start his ministry?
There are many versions of it, but basically he started on a street corner. And he would preach the gospel and preach the word of God, and he would get followers and then a couple more and then a couple more until the point where he had a handful of followers who formed a nucleus that they could support themselves.
Peace, everyone. Everybody happy? So am I.
So, Lenny, he comprised his first congregation in Sayville, Long Island, New York, in 1919. By then, about how many people did he have?
He probably had 10 to 20 people who lived in the Sayville house full time.
And how did he get that house?
I believe it was the first Mother Divine, whose name was Penina. I think that she had some wealth and that she became a follower. She became his wife. And I believe that she's the one that put up the funds to buy the house.
So, Lenny, at some point during his New York years, he's arrested for disturbing the peace.
Well, this
tell
is
me what happened.
It's an interesting story. Father's success started to grow, and the backbone of success, even to this day, is feeding people. And he wouldn't feed them the typical, I don't want to say gruel, but he wouldn't feed them substandard foods that you may see at soup kitchens. He put on enormous feasts. And he did it constantly, and people would come because they would get a free meal.
And this was during the Depression, right?
Throughout the whole Depression, at its height, middle, and later. People were coming by the hundreds to get a free meal. So the complaints came, followed by the police, and Father was arrested for disturbing the peace. The judge told Father Divine that he was a charlatan, that he had no right to tell people he was God, and he put him in jail for a year. The judge's name was Judge Smith, who was a robust man in his 50s. Well, 3 days later, the judge dropped dead. Well, 3 days after sentencing Father to the harshest punishment he possibly could, the judge dropped dead. And Father, supposedly from his jail cell, said, "I hated to do it." The newspapers loved it. They said, "Father Divine kills judge who put him in jail."
his followers who wondered if he was God, that was probably confirmed for him at that time.
Right? Sure.
Judge Smith brought it on himself by his prejudice and his bigotry. With Father, when people touched him inharmoniously, they received the effect of it.
So Father Divine establishes the International Peace Mission in 1936, and essentially it is a communal living sort of compound in Harlem where he has all his followers in one place.
A man in a $20 suit walked into Harlem. He said he was God.
So what does that provide?
The International Peace Mission was the official name of the organization umbrella that Father controlled. Father had heavens, he would call them, all over the world. Australia, California, South America. They were all under the umbrella of the International Peace Mission. It really came about, I believe, because Father also employed some of the best legal minds in the world. And they put together this organization that basically, I believe, would protect him.
How did Father Divine get so rich? I mean, he says that he never took an offering.
I did not and do not and will not receive compensation, remuneration, love offerings, donations, or anything of that sort for my spiritual work and activities from any individual.
But at his height, he was wearing $500 suits, driving around in a $25,000 Duesenberg, had a private plane. Where'd he get his money from?
Father had all these heavens around the country. Every one of them had a Rolls Royce just in case Father would show up one day. Father lived the life. How did he get it? He got people to believe he was God, and they gave him the worldly possessions. But he also had a few very wealthy followers. And they funded the bulk of the big purchases, or the Duesenberg. It was custom made. The second to last Duesenberg ever made. It took 2 years to build. And Father was very short in stature, and it was custom made with a big jump seat in the back so he could look higher when he was sitting in the back of it.
And we should note here that he did not believe in credit, that he paid cash for almost everything.
No banks. No insurance. Didn't believe in insurance or life insurance. But there were no books kept. Nobody knows how much money there was, how many followers there were. No statistics were kept that I've ever seen, and I was told none were ever kept.
Let's talk about Father Divine's role in the civil rights movement, because I think that is something that people know absolutely nothing about.
During the 20s, 30s, and 40s, there really was no civil rights movement. Father Divine believed that there are no such thing as races, that everyone is equal. And he took that philosophy beyond the Peace Mission movement to struggle and fight for what he thought were equality and civil rights. He would contact companies that refused to hire blacks and tell them, we're not going to use your product. And at the time, he had hundreds of thousands of followers. He threatened and actually did boycott milk delivery companies because they wouldn't hire black drivers. They staged sit-ins on commercial places such as restaurants or stores that wouldn't allow blacks in. He would send in his white followers to just sit in there before the sit-in was a word. When no one was doing it, no one thought about doing it, and it took enormous courage.
So in the 40s, Lenny, Father Divine marries the second Mother Divine, and she's white. How did they meet?
This is where it gets dicey, because Penina, the first Mother Divine, at one point became no longer useful. She was living up in the New Paltz area, where Father had a lot of headquarters, had a lot of properties there, and Father was down in Harlem. Eventually, Penina went into the hospital and was left in a pauper's grave somewhere. And then in 1946, she was abracadabra reincarnated as a 21-year-old white woman.
We didn't marry to propagate children. We married to propagate virtue.
That woman was Edna Rose Richings, who as a teenager started following Father Divine from her home in Vancouver. One weekend in 1946, they came back as married mother and Father Divine.
I held no claim on Father as a woman would a natural man.
If you ask me why he moved to Philadelphia from New York, the answer is because one of the people who gave them all their worldly possessions, a married couple, decided a year into it that they wanted their worldly possessions back. And that would have been a bad business move on Father's part. So he was advised, or so he believed. And rather than pay them, he moved to Philadelphia. He closed up his New York branches and came down here. And eventually started buying properties in Philadelphia.
And that includes Woodmont, where his followers live today.
He continues to buy properties in Philadelphia, including the Divine Lorraine Hotel. What is the historical significance of the Divine Lorraine?
It's historically significant because it was the first hotel of any significance to be integrated in this country. Now, if you were married, you couldn't sleep on the same floor as your wife. And the dining room, the food was great and inexpensive, but you couldn't buy alcohol and you couldn't smoke. And this was a period when everyone smoked.
I think that would preclude a lot of people.
Yeah.
While Father has always said that everyone has free will, that anybody could walk away, you did have to make sacrifices to be a Father Divine follower. And there was one woman, her name is Lynn Comer.
I came to the Peace Mission at 6 years of age. It was shortly after my mother died. I have a sister that went with me, but familiar attachments were discouraged.
She's married, has children and grandchildren, and to this day, she's still feeling the shock of growing up as a child and believing that Father Divine is God. Lynn had a lot to say.
He built an empire. But in my feeling, it's on the backs of people. When you start having to control everything they hear, when you have to control everything they think, when you have to sing the same songs over and over, you are not really giving them free will. You are giving them a form of slavery.
Father Divine dies in 1965. We don't know how old he is, but we think maybe he's in his 80s. What happens to his followers? They're celibate, which means they're not making any new followers. So how many are left?
I can only guess. I don't know. I can only guess that there's less than 24, and that number's diminishing. I recently had some contact with a follower who wouldn't tell me specifically, but said that there are fewer people there now than there was last time I was there, which was probably 5 or 6 months ago. But they won't give numbers. They never did, and they never will.
So, Lenny, why isn't Father Divine better known?
He's considered a charlatan. He was considered somebody that took advantage of people by giving them false beliefs and taking their money.
And so people just dismiss him because of that.
Absolutely. It's easier to dismiss someone than have to take it to the next level and dig through the layers and say, well, there's more to it than him just being a charlatan. There's a lot more to it. When Father was saying that his scores of houses, his heavens, had to be integrated, that his dinner table had to be integrated, that all his workplaces, the stores he owned, the restaurants he owned, the hotels he owned, had to be integrated, it was unheard of. On the scale of, you know, was he a charlatan or was he a great civil rights leader, I'm not going to tip the scales, but I'm telling you that there's enough on each side of it so that I have enormous respect for Father Divine.
Lenny, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, and Alex Stern under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Our intern is Xavier Lopez. Our engineers are Mike Villers, Diana Martinez, and Al Banks. Special thanks to Lenny Feinberg for providing audio from his documentary, Father's Kingdom. Download The Why wherever you get your podcasts and tweet us at AnnetteJH, at Shai Ben-Yaakov, and at Alex Ray Stern. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.